Your health space.
Your health space.
Your health space.
Your health space.
An essential life-changing health program promoting your lifelong physical and emotional well-being. Welcome to Your Health Space.
Your Health Space, an essential life-changing health program promoting your lifelong physical and emotional well-being.
Good evening and welcome to today's program. My name is Mijelo Hajizebe. You're tuned to Radio Christian Voice and this is Your Health Space. I am back with more health information and helping you and of course helping myself as well take full responsibility of our health. And of course today I have Chipi Mochisanga, who has been, well, missing in action for some time because he has to do school as well as educate you and I on issues to do with diabetes. Chipi Mo, welcome to the program and welcome back.
Thank you, Michelle.
How's school going?
It's okay.
Okay, I can see he's showing me what's on his T-shirt. It says, "I run on dad coke and insulin." Nice. It's a pretty T-shirt.
It's advocacy.
Yes, advocacy taken to another level. That's very good. Today we are back to look at issues, well, regarding diabetes and also the fact that we haven't done this in a long time. And I think Chipimo and I have received calls. Someone was asking me why we are quiet on diabetes.
I received a few messages.
Yeah, and I said, well, we will be back because we were giving the young man time to deal with school. So Chipimo is from the Diabetes Association of Zambia. He is a patient with experience and not a doctor, so he brings to the table his experience and how he manages to manage his diabetes. So he shares tips, although they may not be the same because different people, different bodies, and so different ways to deal with diabetes. Today we look at an interesting topic, that is, we're looking at the 10 things about diabetes management you may not know. Before we get to this, Chipimo, it would be good for us to, of course, inform all those tuned in right now that they can be a part of this program by using our official Facebook page, which is Radio Christian Voice. Also, you are at liberty to give us a call or text us on 0960-200-490. The number again is 0960-200-490, and you can use that number to send us your WhatsApp messages as well as your text messages. Shall we remind ourselves or shall we remind each other about diabetes management before we get to the 10 things that we may not know about diabetes management?
Okay. Thank you for the reminder.
Yes.
You know, I have to talk about these things all the time. So basically, diabetes management involves three key things, which is the diet, the medication, and the exercise. Now, if you have these three things, there's one other thing that you must consider, which is checking your blood sugars. So you should know, with diabetes management, you should know your blood sugar, the level of your blood sugars, before you know how to manage them or control them or whatever you may call it. But yeah, the basic three things are diet, medication, and exercise. For diet, as usual, as we say, you need to eat in moderation if you're diabetic. By moderation, we mean you need to eat in regular intervals. So smaller amounts in regular intervals. For example, if you have, let's say, before you're diagnosed, you used to eat one lump of mshima, and then now that you're diagnosed, you know, you have to change that. So you have to break down the lump, maybe you say, into half. So you have the first half for this hour. After a few hours, you have another half. And, you know, just like that. So it's in moderation. That's just an example, you know. And then, again, on diet, you need to know what to eat, how much to eat, and what time to eat. Because
before you go any further, why is it important to put those two things that you have stated into consideration? Why must I know what time to eat and how much to eat?
The reason why you should know what time to eat is because if you're living with diabetes, you know, just by the diabetes characteristic, which is high blood sugars, accompanied by, you know, urination and all those things. So for the fact that you have high blood sugars, you don't want to add more sugar to the high blood sugars. So it's like when you get this this level of blood sugars, let's say, for example, you have your blood sugars at 15. and then you don't know that it's at 15. Then you happen to eat something.
Mm.
And then, you know, you haven't taken your medication at the right time. So that will lead into a DKA or something. You have an extra high blood sugar, which you don't want. So the reason why you should know what time to eat and what to eat
mm-hmm.
is because of the same fact that it's based on high blood sugars. So if you know that your blood sugar is high, then you know that you should eat less or something. If you know if it's low, you know that you might want to eat a little bit more than before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's always key to know what to eat and what time. The what to eat, though, you know, there's a diabetic diet, as they call it, but there's no such thing as a diabetic diet,
mm-hmm.
like we always talk about. It's just a healthy diet. So now this healthy diet comprises of things like, let's say, roller meal, you know, less of the fried foods, more of the fiber, less of the less complex carbohydrates, the regular carbohydrates. You have to have like more fiber, more of the vegetables, you know, a lot of water and exercise, because exercise is part of a good diet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you don't have those things, if you have those things, then you have a good diet, which is a healthy diet.
That was on diet. We move to medication now.
Okay, before we move to medication, and then if you talk about diet again, mm-hmm. on the what time to eat, okay. Sometimes when you wake up, you might find your blood sugar is high, so you might want to take a shot. Or if you're type 1, that is, you might want to take a shot. You know, wait for your blood sugar to go down a little bit, and then you eat later on. You don't want to have those spikes. That's why you always focus on the time as well. So now, on to exercise, right?
Well, wait, maybe in the event that, well, we have instances where, well, I wake up hungry, maybe midnight snack. Am I allowed to snack?
Yeah, especially if you're living with diabetes, you're allowed to snack. And sometimes you might find that, be it your type 1 or type 2,
mm-hmm.
Maybe if you're on insulin, you might find that on this day, maybe you walked a little bit too much, had a little bit, or maybe had less food or whatever reason, your blood sugar goes low. So you might wake up at night to eat.
Okay.
So it's not like it's a thing where you have to plan and say, okay, I'll wake up at night to eat. But, you know, just happens.
If you're just joining us, you are on Your Health Space on Radio Christian Voice. You're with me, Mijalo Hashizibe. My guest is Chipimo Chisanga from the Diabetes Association of Zambia. Chipimo is a young leader and a patient with experience, so he brings to the table his experience on how he has managed his diabetes. You can be a part of the program by texting us on 0960-200-490. That's 0960-200-490. Also, you are at liberty to use our official Radio Christian Voice Facebook page. You can go there right now, and well, the topic of discussion is on the page, and you can comment on it. We move to medication from diet.
From diet to medication. I thought you said, okay.
Well, medication, okay, medication, exercise.
Yeah, medication. So mm-hmm. in medication, you have to take the prescribed dose. So okay. Be it your type 1 or type 2. If your doctor tells you need to take this much at this hour, make sure you take it at that hour mm-hmm. and at the prescribed dose, because you don't want to take less, you don't want to take more. And then for exercise, you need to know what type of exercise, what time to exercise, and how to exercise. If you're a person living with diabetes, note that I said a person living with diabetes,
mm-hmm.
not a diabetic. You know, I don't know, in the diabetes community, we don't refer to each other as diabetics. It's
okay.
An inside joke, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you need to know what type of exercise. So there are people who are different, have different body sizes, you know, different body mass index and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some types of exercises that might not fit the profile of a person. Let's say, some people don't respond according to the way they're supposed to respond to, let's say, jogging, swimming, and whatever. So you need to go to at least a physiotherapist
mm-hmm.
to make sure that you know the type of exercise that responds to you, the type of exercise you should do. There are people, let's say, who have a heart problem or something. They might not want to jog so much, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah, all that in the picture. And for the what time to exercise, there's a time when maybe your blood sugar is high. You don't want to exercise when your blood sugar is high, because sometimes if you exercise when it's at a certain level of high, that leads you into a DKA. You end up going higher instead of going lower.
Okay.
So you need to know when to exercise. You need to know, okay, this is my target range for exercise. So if my blood sugar is at this level, I should exercise.
Mm-hmm.
If it's higher, sit down, just take your shot or whatever you have to do, take a bottle of water or whatever, and then just wait for it to come down. If you've taken the medication. Yeah, that's... I think that's the general stuff about diabetes management, the three things. And then the other thing was the first thing that we mentioned, which is key. You need to know the level of your blood sugar before you know how to control it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're better off knowing before you actually engage into this diabetes management program or whatever you may call it.
Okay. Yeah. So you mentioned the fact that medication needs to be very strict, as you don't want to take more or less of what you are supposed to take, which is the dosage.
Yeah.
What are some of the consequences of either trying to take less because you feel, I could take less because, well, I'm not really in danger? Or what is the consequence of taking more because you feel, oh, I need to do this quickly because my blood sugar is too low and I need to get there very quickly?
Okay. Before I even say anything, when your blood sugar is low, you don't take insulin. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to delay that a little bit. But depending on how your caregiver has given you instructions, let's say sometimes you might find they tell you if your blood sugar is high, by this above this number, you should take maybe an extra 2 units. Or if your blood sugar is low, you do this, you do that. They'll give you these guidelines, these instructions you need to follow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're referring to as taking your prescribed dose.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's say, for example, if I'm given, I'm type 1, by the way. So if I'm given, I take 2 shots,
mm-hmm.
one in the morning, one in the evening. So I need to know the time I need to take in the morning. I need to know how many hours that needs to pass for me to take the next shot. That's why there's these prescribed intervals of how you should take your dose. Let's say, for example, I take my insulin at 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So my next dose should be about 18, 19. So I shouldn't skip past 18, 19. I should take it at 18 or 19. If you take more than the usual, that means your blood sugar is going to go lower, because you have this cycle. There's a reason why they say always take these regular intervals. It's because they need to maintain a certain level, a certain balance to your blood sugars. Now, if you take more, that means your blood sugar is going to go lower. You start having low blood sugars. And when you have low blood sugars, the only way you can treat them is if you take something sweet, which is going to, sometimes you may not know how to measure. You might take something a little bit more, which is going to make it go a little bit higher. So you have this unbalance. So in general, in short, what I'm trying to say is that if you take more or less, you cause this unbalance to your stabilized blood sugars over time.
Okay. So today we are looking at 10 things about diabetes management you may not know. And Chipimo is in the studio to help with this very important subject. If you would like to be a part of the program, you can text us either using a normal text message or using WhatsApp on 0960-2004-90. The number again is 0960-2004-90. Also, you are at liberty to use our official Facebook page, which is Radio Christian Voice. You can like it if you haven't liked it yet, and then go to, well, the page, and you will find our topic of discussion typed down there for you, and you can comment with a question, comment, or contribution. Now, getting to these 10 things that we may not know about diabetes management, would you like to add on to that talk of diabetes management on the 4 aspects that we talked about before we move here, or we are cool?
We're cool. We can just go. Yeah,
okay.
Because most of them will be covered in the...
In the 10.
Yeah,
okay. So number one is that having a sweet tooth doesn't cause diabetes.
Yes. Many people in our culture, in our environmental setup that we have in Zambia, will tell you, if you eat too much sugar, you get sugar disease, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Diabetes is not caused by eating too much sugar. That's one thing that people need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also need to understand that there's different types of diabetes. Type 1 can happen to anyone at any time at any age. And well, type 2, it's mostly got a family history. This is where you find that people in the family have diabetes, you know, and then they pass it down generation to generation, just like that. But a risk factor of type 2 is obesity.
Mm-hmm.
And then what the sugar does is, if you take so much sugar and you're not, well, you're already huge, you're already overweight, and you take so much sugar, you just gain more weight. You become obese. And that's a risk factor of you having type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that the sugar causes the diabetes, no. Any healthy person can eat sugar and nothing will happen to them. I mean, there are people who've been taking sugar since they were young, they've been taking sugar in their tea up to until they're, I don't know, 57 or something, and they've never had diabetes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we could also just refer to these as myths, because some of the way in which they are articulated makes it look like, well, they are not really a big deal, but we could still say that these are some of the things that we didn't know about management.
Yeah.
But maybe we could also say that these are some of the assumptions that people may have out there.
Because
the second,
personal experience is that when I meet people So when you tell them, no, I'm a diabetic, I'm a type 1 diabetic, they'll be like, oh, you used to eat too much sugar, right?
Mm.
And I'm like, no, it's not caused by that. And then, you know, you try to defend yourself. And then, you know, it's always messy and stuff. And you're like, no, you try to explain to them, this is what's happening, this is what goes on. And they'll be like, oh, okay, cool.
Mm.
But they never stop telling you that. They never stop assuming that sugar causes diabetes.
That's what they always think.
That's what they always think. But that's not true. It doesn't.
Okay. So the second one is that diabetes is a long life deal.
Well, as they said it, it's a lifetime complication. It's a full-time job where you have no vacation and you don't get paid. You just have to do it all day, 24/7.
Willingly, nothing like, with all your heart.
Yeah, you know, you can't take a break. Even if you wanted to, you can't take a break.
The commitment is
lifetime.
Non-negotiable.
Yeah, non-negotiable. Just, you're stuck with it. You just have to go with the flow.
So okay.
It's either you accept it and say, okay, you know what? I just have to, you know, take it on and see where this goes. But yeah, it's lifetime.
Okay. And the third one says diabetes can affect people of any age or lifestyle.
Yes, that's true. If we're focusing on, like I said, there's different types of diabetes. There's type 1 and type 2. For type 1, it can happen to anyone at any age, at any time, regardless of their lifestyle, regardless of you being healthy, regardless of you exercising so much. Even footballers, like you play football week in, week out. But if type 1 diabetes hits you, it hits you. It doesn't even care if you play football, if you're healthy, you're not healthy. It just hits you. Then if you're talking about type 2, well, there's risk factors. Like, you know, like we said, like we mentioned earlier, there's obesity and, you know, all those things.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. In this case, you are a type 1.
I'm a type 1.
Yeah, so it didn't care if you had,
I
you did. Know.
You know, the funny thing is, I never even used to enjoy the food at school. It was bad food anyway.
Yeah.
So it was in boarding school.
Mm.
You know, I wasn't really healthy, but that didn't cause the diabetes. It just happened.
Mm.
It's just, like I said, type 1 diabetes can happen to anyone at any time, at any age.
And the fact that you are the first in your family also.
Yeah, and I'm the first in my family, so yeah.
It won't really have to come from an uncle or a dad or something, but type 1 really hits at any time. Type 2 diabetes isn't milder than type 1 diabetes.
Diabetes is diabetes. That's all I'm going to say.
There's nothing like
mild. You know, personal experience.
Strong.
Yeah, you know, personal experience, you'd find that, no, the one with the injections is worse off. At least the one with the tablets is better.
Mm.
No, diabetes is diabetes. At the end of the day, if you're going to get amputated, you get amputated. Be it you have type 1 or type 2.
Mm-hmm.
So diabetes is diabetes. There's no better diabetes than the other. Someone shouldn't tell you, no, I have type 1, well, I'm better off. No, you're still going through the same challenges. You're still using the same diabetes management plan, which is the diet, medication, and exercise. Yeah.
Mm.
So there's no difference between... Okay, there is a difference, but there's no better diabetes than the other.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other one is that diabetes affects more than blood sugar levels.
Yes, this is true. Because, you know, diabetes is it's a chronic condition. It's complicated. So sometimes you may find everything is going well, but because of your blood sugars, because, for example, low blood sugars have different symptoms from high blood sugars, but, well, they're similar, but, yeah. You'd find you become anxious if you have a low blood sugar. You start losing concentration. I mean, if you're in a normal state, you wouldn't start losing concentration to start with. So yeah, it does affect more than the blood sugar levels. Sometimes it has a toll on your mental health because sometimes people feel like when they are burnt out, for example, that's a very good example to give. When you're burnt out, that's more like you're tired of this condition, you know. You're tired of the numbers, you're tired of the blood sugar levels, you're tired of the diet and just taking care of yourself as a person with diabetes. So it does affect you. So you need to have friends, you need to talk to people about it, you know, you need to be open about it. That's what I mean, that's why I'm here. So, you know, I like to talk about it. I'm very open about it with my friends, you know. It's easier if you communicate. You talk to people, you tell them this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And then they'll help you. There are some people that don't understand. They'll tell you this and that, you know. But you have to correct them. You understand that they're human. They're just trying to help.
Mm.
But it does affect you more than the numbers.
So there's a lot of things that actually become so much better when you communicate, when you find someone, and especially when you have a strong support system, because everybody in your circle understands you and they never judge you or think of you as less of a person or anything like that. So being open about certain things actually helps and works better.
It does help, because I'll give another example. For the fact, ever since I started doing this advocacy program, this advocating about diabetes, being a face of diabetes with the IDF and, you know, the association and stuff like that, I've met people. Sometimes I even, on Facebook, people even send me messages like, oh, dude, I've just been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, so what do I need to do? Now imagine if I didn't
open out
and say, you know, this is what's going on, this is what I do, this is what I love to do, I love to help out people with diabetes and all that, I would love to, you know, go beyond just the education and all this, and stuff like that. So it's a thing where if you're open about it, people would come to you, they would ask you questions. And then, you know, you'd answer them, you'd help them. It feels good if you help someone that's got the same condition as you, trust me. It does feel, it helps you not really feel better about yourself, but it just helps you grow.
Gives you a sense of relief as well.
Yeah, it gives you a sense of relief. You're like, okay, you know what, I helped someone. And then they'll be like, oh yeah, this is my friend, you know, we're going through the same thing. And then before you know it, you're good friends.
It's a click.
Yeah.
Your health space. Your health, our responsibility.
If you're just joining us here on Your Health Space on Christian Voice, you're with me, Mijelo Hajizibe. I have Chipi Mochisanga in the studio, and we are looking at, well, you could call them myths and misconceptions about diabetes, but we are also calling them the 10 things that you might not know about diabetes management. You can be a part of the program by texting us on 0960-200-490. That's 0960-200-490. Also, you can text us via Facebook using our official Facebook page, which is Radio Christian Voice. We are on the sixth point, and it says people with diabetes may not need to restrict all sugar.
Very, very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain that. This is a part I loved. I just wanted this part. Like, I just
you were waiting.
I was waiting for this part. Yeah, you'd find. Okay. I know people with diabetes can relate, where you, let's say, your blood sugar is low, and then this friend of yours, alleged friend, says you can't take sugar. They even say, I'm trying to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take the sugar when you really, really, really need the sugar. Because I've had a situation where a friend of mine, where I met at school in first year, I had a low blood sugar. So what I needed was the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to take I say two to three tablespoons of sugar, because it was like low. And then when I got the sugar and put it in the water, and this guy says, you're diabetic, you're not supposed to take this. And then he grabs the cup and spills the sugar.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, dude, I need the sugar, like right now. I really need it. And then the guy goes like, no, I'm trying to help you. Instead, take Coke Zero.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, are you trying to kill me? You know, all I did was, I didn't say anything. I just walked out, went in the next room and got the sugar. And after I had my sugar solution, then I went back. I was like, let me explain something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know, might have found it rude and stuff, but I know you're just trying to help. But there are things that you don't know. Like we said, things that people don't know about diabetes management. The fact that you have a low blood sugar, you need the sugar, the same sugar they tell you don't take in the tea.
Because you say you have sugar disease.
And then, because they say it also causes sugar disease. That's what they say. But it's funny that the only thing that people with diabetes can't eat is poison and cookies with poison.
Like, we all can't eat poison.
Exactly. See, we all, that's my point. The only thing, if you can't eat poison, I can't eat poison also. But if you can eat your sugar, I may need it, but just not all of it. You know,
differently.
Like, I'll need it at a different level. Let's say, for example, if I have low blood sugar, if I have high blood sugar, obviously I won't need the sugar. I'll be like, you know what, I'm fine. Maybe just a bottle of water will do.
Mm-hmm.
But you need the sugar when you have a low blood sugar. And mostly people that get these low blood sugars are people with type 1 diabetes or the people who are type 2 and taking insulin. And another point to put out is that when you're type 2 and then you used to take tablets before and now you're taking insulin, that doesn't mean that your blood sugar, you have bad control. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, they may say, it may sound like you have bad control, but it's not that. It's a situation where it's about your insulin responding, because type 2 is insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. And then if these tablets are not enough, you know, these oral hypoglycemic drugs are not enough, they'll say, okay, you know what, insulin is the way to go. They're just trying to get your blood sugars stable and back to normal. Not that your diabetes is bad.
Okay.
Yeah. So you may, according to your caregiver, your doctor, they may tell you, okay, you know what, we'll start you with insulin, we'll start you with tablets. But personally, I prefer insulin, because insulin, it's a guarantee that it's going to work. And then you get to be closer to the normal numbers than type 2, depending on how you're managing it.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're type 2 and you're on insulin, you just switch to insulin, it's not a big deal. Don't even beat yourself up about it or get worried that it's getting bad. No, it's not getting bad. They're just trying to make sure that your numbers are back in a stable state. So let's say, for example, you say, okay, you know what? I'm a patient and I don't want this insulin. Let me just stick to my tablets. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll let you do that. But that means in the long run, you're going to be affected. And that may lead to you having, you know, diabetes complications, which may lead to you being amputated or stuff like that.
Okay.
But insulin doesn't, if you switch to insulin and you're type 2, doesn't mean that you have bad control. No, they're just trying to make your levels, your blood sugar levels stable.
Okay.
Again.
Okay. Yeah. Cool stuff. Number 7. We're on to number 7.
Yes.
A diagnosis of diabetes can be emotionally challenging.
Yeah, I'm a victim of that.
Tell us about it.
First time I got diagnosed, they just told me, nope, you've been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And I'm like, what's that?
What's that?
Mm. I didn't even know what it
what
was.
What is it?
That's how bad it was. I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. They just told me sugar disease. I was like, oh, my grandma used to warn me about this sugar when I used to eat a lot of sugar. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, yeah. So, you know, I was in school and I'm like, okay.
How old were you?
16, 17.
Okay.
Yeah, 17. About 17, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
17. Yeah, I was 17. So, you know, I was a 17-year-old boy, and I'm like, okay, this is so much. It was so much to take in. Mm-hmm. You know, you're thinking, these older guys who you hear that have diabetes, you know, they cut off their leg, and, you know, they don't do this, they don't do that, all these stories. So it took a toll on me. I was like, okay, I'm still young, and I haven't even finished school to start with. And this is happening, you know, like I felt like it was the end of the world. Until I started reading a few books. And the good thing is, okay, I was optimistic about it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be the difference. I'm going to be the difference that I need to see. That's how I started my journey. That's how this is us now.
Because yeah, this is
I
us.
Thought of being the difference. Because mm-hmm. I was like, you know, if people can say this about diabetes, then why not change it? And I would find ways. I would read books. My mom sent me these books. Diabetes for Dummies and all that stuff. They mm-hmm. tell you how this diabetes thing works, you know, how it affects people, how to beat it, you know, and stuff like that. So I started reading those books. I started doing more research. I met a lot of people that were diagnosed with type 1 and type 2. I traveled the world a little bit.
Okay.
Because of the association, yeah. Mm. So it was a good experience. And then out of all that, I remember the first time it really did take a toll on me. Like, I was emotionally challenged, like no man's business.
Mm.
I was like, I'm young, you know, like I'm almost dying, I'm young. And it was bad. Mm. So now I can imagine someone who's older. And if I'm a young person, let's say at 17, and someone who's like 34, 35, probably they'll be like, you know what, I haven't even had my life achievements yet, and I'm diagnosed with this chronic disease and whatever.
Yeah.
But the good thing is, the positive thing is, diabetes, be it type 1, be it type 2, is manageable.
Okay.
As long as you just start living a positive life. And these things that we talk about on this show, the diabetes management plan, the diet, the medication, the exercise, follow your treatment plan, follow everything, you'll be okay. And then most of the time you'd find that the reason why you'd think a little bit that it's emotionally challenging, it, because there's another point that you talked about that said, that talked about emotions being, diabetes being beyond the numbers.
Being
that also is another thing. So mm-hmm. maybe your blood sugars might be high, do a little bit of magic on you a little bit, and then next thing you know, mm-hmm. you're all over the place, yeah. Emotionally challenged, stressed out, depressed. But, you know, sometimes you just need to rest. Sleep, wake up, exercise, see friends, talk to friends, you know, take care of yourself. You'll be back to normal before you know it.
I'm just imagining how young you were and how you went through that process and how you got to accepting that you had this type 1 diabetes and getting to become the change that you have become now probably was a process.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not always easy because someone would think it was all rosy all those things. So it's always a process. It's never, it's not possible until it's done. So well done. And
thank you.
You are doing a whole lot of great things. So keep it up. Don't slack. Just continue with the good work because there's always something to learn every single time we meet.
Okay. And I think another challenge can be exposure to the right people.
Thank you. That is a good point.
Because the people I was surrounded with were not very so pessimistic about this diabetes. They're like, you know what? It's fine. We're there for you. They gave me all the support I needed.
Mm-hmm.
So the support is also key. So if you have, let's say, for example, now the thing is, mostly the reason why it's emotionally challenging for adults is they don't have that support group. Maybe the only support group they have is their family.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people are looking up to you and you're stressed out because all that stress of taking care of your whole family, you know, providing for them also adds on. And then you just need this. That's why I say always talk to people, friends, family, talk to them. Let them understand. Explain to them. And also, if you're living with diabetes, it is your duty to find out and research more about the condition.
Yeah.
I mean, you're better with diabetes management. You're better off knowing how it affects you so that you should know how to overcome. Know more about the condition before it hits you.
Yeah.
Dig deep. Research. Read. Ask questions. Ask the right questions. Meet the right people. Talk about it. Always.
Okay. You're such a good example. And, well, you're doing a whole lot of good things. We're almost finishing some of the points that we are supposed to look at. But for this next point, I would like you to explain pre-diabetes before I can say what the next point is. What is pre-diabetes?
Pre-diabetes is just diabetes before it matures. So before you have this, you know,
You have the symptoms?
Before you have the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how can I say it? In layman's terms, I would say, you know how, let me give an example. You know how people say they discovered it late?
Yeah.
You know, they found it late. Before it becomes diabetes, it's called pre-diabetes,
okay,
for type 2 especially. When you have this pre-diabetes, it's a warning.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a warning saying, you know what? Because it just doesn't happen like type 1, like boom, just comes. For type 2, it's gradual. You know,
mm-hmm,
it kicks in slowly. So before it happens, it will give you symptoms like your numbers. No wonder it's always advisable to check your blood sugar levels.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you an estimate. It gives you like a hint of what's coming in the future. Let's say, for example, you have pre-diabetes. And then if you check your blood sugar, it's like after 2 hours after you've eaten, which is, let's say, a postprandial lunch, for example, where you check your blood sugar 2 hours after you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Or random blood sugar or whatever. But when you check your blood sugar 2 hours after you eat, it shouldn't cross a certain number. But if you're in the pre-diabetes phase, it will cross a certain number, but not slight, just by a slight distinction.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the
that's
next,
when the pre-diabetes comes in.
Okay. So the next point is that pre-diabetes is reversible.
Yes. No wonder it's better if you discover that you have pre-diabetes, and then if you have this pre-diabetes, they'll give you certain ways to prevent or delay type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
So they'll say, okay, you know what? You need to cut out on this and that. You need to exercise more, eat this and that. You know, start taking healthier foods so that they don't affect your blood sugar as much, so that, you know, it starts to stick in, starts to work with you.
So you could actually work with a zero diabetes after you follow those?
Yeah,
maybe.
Because it may prevent or delay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the ninth point is that adequate diabetes management can prevent foot and leg complications.
Yes.
Okay, because you manage it so well and you have control.
Because, and most of the things that, I don't know why we get these things as Zambians. There's situations where if you're diagnosed with diabetes, for example, they would think diabetes is this full package of these amputations, you know, sores not healing, and they go into uncontrolled diabetes and all that. It's not like that.
Mm.
Depending on where the stage they found it at, there's no such thing as, okay, it was at stage two or whatever. If they discovered it late, well, it's a shame they discovered it late. But if they discover it early, and then, you know, that only happens if you go to the doctor and take your regular checks, which people don't do. So they always assume that diabetes comes with this, the amputations, you know, the impotence, the kidney disease, the kidney stones, the neuropathies, you know, the eye damage and all that, the retinopathy. They feel like when you say diabetes, then you're talking about amputation. You're talking about sores not healing. No. When you're diagnosed with diabetes, you find out, you discover that you have diabetes, just start taking care of yourself. Follow the diet, the treatment plan, the diabetes management plan. When you follow that, it prevents these things from happening, let's say amputations. For example, people tell me, because they know that somewhere they read, I don't know why, whoever told them, that people with diabetes, so the sores for people with diabetes don't heal. That's a lie. If you take care of yourself, it does. Because for me, maximum 3 to 4 days, my sore is just like everyone else. So the more you take care of yourself, the more you, follow your treatment plan, the lesser you get these complications. The lesser you get exposed to these high blood sugars, you know, amputations and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And finally, the last on our list, but definitely, obviously, not the last, because there are probably so many things that may come up after this program. Insulin may be necessary anyway.
Yes, it is necessary. Okay, for type 1 diabetes, it's like type 1 is insulin-dependent diabetes. That's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And type 2, well, it's not insulin-dependent, but you can take insulin. So at the end of the day, insulin is necessary for diabetes management, because there may be a point where you're in type 2 phase and then they tell you to start taking insulin, then you go ahead, take the insulin. For type 1, well, insulin is forever, so it's vital. Those other things don't work.
Okay.
The only thing that works is insulin, so you're better off just, you know, sticking to your prescribed dose. Whatever the doctor tells you to do, you have to do it. You know, just fight through.
Okay.
It's manageable, very manageable.
All right. Thank you, Chipimo, once again for making time to reappear and share all this juicy information with us on our program today. Your conclusion, I just to let you know that we might have to share your contacts just in case someone writes to us and would like more personal help than just listening to a program like this one. So
yeah, sure, no problem.
I have your number and I will be sharing it with our response team so that they can get in touch with you to get more one-on-one interaction, and it works better, I guess.
Yeah, it works better.
So your conclusion as we wrap up.
My conclusion would be, if you're newly diagnosed, either type 1 or type 2 or gestational diabetes or whatever type of diabetes that you have, it's manageable. Don't let anyone lie to you or say, no, it's too late. It's never too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very manageable. I mean, I got it when I was like, I've had it for like 7 years now, plus. And if you look at me, well, I'm healthier than the next guy, but, you know.
Too bossy.
Yeah, a little bit, you know. Yeah. People say, oh, okay, you know what, do you lift weights or something? I'm like, no, you know, just exercise.
Yeah.
And, you know, enjoying life while you can.
Yeah.
But it's not the end of the world.
Yeah,
that's one thing you need to know.
Definitely
not the end of the world, definitely. You need to be very positive, you know. Like, it's not the end of the world, like I said.
Mm.
You need to be more active, you know, talk to people. Don't be very discreet, you know. I've met people that, like, there's this one time I met this guy. I was checking his blood sugar. We were doing this public screening thing, and I checked his blood sugar, and it was like 27. I was like, definitely this guy is diabetic. And I told him, and then he tells me, no, not if you took any of you.
Mm.
I'm like, how do you can't run away from that. The fact that it's there,
mm-hmm.
no matter what you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
it will still be there. You just have to take care of yourself right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic thing is, it's manageable. You need to accept it. And then, you know, talk to friends, talk to people. You can talk to me, like, you know, like Mitch said, my contact is there. So, yeah, and I can help you. And, you know, you can help me help you.
Yeah. Thank you, Chipimo. That was Chipimo Chisanga from the Diabetes Association of Zambia. We were looking at, well, myths and misconceptions about diabetes, and also looking at diabetes management and how it varies from one person to another, but also knowing the fact that it is definitely manageable. My name is Mijalo Hajizibe. Stay tuned to Christian Voice and enjoy the rest of our programming. Good evening.